This episode is brought to you by Adobe, revolutionizing document management with a new Acrobat Pro and its AI assistant, turning the way you interact with PDFs into a conversation. Reach out to an Adobe expert at SoftChoice to learn more, or visit softchoice.com/adobe.
You're listening to The Catalyst by SoftChoice, a podcast about unleashing the full potential in people and technology. I'm your host, Heather Haskin. In an age where AI can conjure up marketing campaigns, perform complex analysis tasks, and train itself using your intellectual property, you can't blame businesses and workers everywhere for feeling a little apprehensive. It's a topic that's on everyone's minds, and Adobe, a titan of productivity and creative tools, is no exception. From its dominance in the creative suite to its flagship PDF and document solutions, Adobe products are ubiquitous in the modern workplace. And now that they've released a series of new generative AI innovations, it got me wondering, how will this new era of AI change the way we create and collaborate together? What are the big publishers doing to address ethical concerns? And yes, what does the future hold for the humble PDF? Today, I'm joined by Lori DeFurio, Principal Evangelist at Adobe, to shed some light on Adobe's generative AI vision. She's going to help us figure out how business leaders can gear up for all these changes while safeguarding your data and intellectual property. Lori, welcome to The Catalyst. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm always excited to chat with our partners and with your listeners to help them understand some of the tech that we're doing.
Amazing. With your job title, Principal Evangelist at Adobe, what does a typical day look like for you, and how does that role serve Adobe's mission?
Well, there's really no typical day in my life. I might be speaking at a conference or doing a podcast like this, delivering some training, chatting with one-on-one with customers. But over the years, I find this role really allows me to help enable customers to get the most out of their investment in technology. And my favorite phrase of all time is, I didn't know Acrobat could do that.
I didn't know Acrobat could do that. With AI, obviously we have to talk about AI in today's world, and Adobe, the sheer speed and impact of the generative AI revolution can be blindsiding to many. I'm curious, was Adobe fully prepared for this incoming force? And what have the last 2 years looked like for you?
Well, I'm going to go back even more than 2 years, if you will. So our engineers have been thinking about and learning about generative adversarial networks for 5 to 6 years. That's kind of the beginning of Gen AI. But we've been integrating AI into the technology for 10 plus years. I mean, think about content-aware fill in Photoshop or liquid mode in Acrobat. So this wasn't anything new. We've been on top of it. And then Firefly, which is our generative AI technology in the creative apps and services, was announced just over a year ago. And wait till you hear this, has been used to generate over 6 billion, yep, that's a B, images in the past year. So, I mean, we're right on top of it. We're very excited. And then we introduced AI Assistant in Acrobat earlier this year, which enables anybody to have a conversation with their documents across all surfaces, you know, whether you're in the computer, on your mobile phone, or even in one of the browsers that are available today, Google Chrome or Microsoft Edge. And you're not just gathering insights from the PDF, but you're really generating content. Like I could ask Acrobat to write me a blog post about a research report or summarize into an email all the results of a financial learning transcript. So it's kind of cool where we are. And I think we were ready.
I love what you said, have a conversation with your document. How do you have a conversation with your document?
Well, Acrobat pops up a window, supplies some sample questions just to get you started based on what's kind of content that's in the file. But you could ask it all sorts of things. Summarize this document into 5 bullets. Or does this organization have a sustainability strategy? If it's an annual report. Or maybe if you're looking at a set of resumes, does this person, you know, is there anybody in this set that has more than 10 years experience in XYZ? So you're just asking Acrobat to go dig in for you. And, you know, I think, I'm going to say this out loud, that Control F or Command F, basically search, is dead. Because why would I search through the file when I could just ask it? And is it there or it's not there?
I think the Command F or Control F is worn off on my keyboard. So that's really good news because I use that all the time. There's a really strong advocate for AI here at SoftChoice internally that loves to talk to people about how to talk to AI. And he says that if you're nice, you get better results. Do you feel that with Adobe?
I think I wouldn't say nice as much as have a strategy. Think about it. Be concise. Think about being genuine. Maybe that's the nice part, being genuine. And it'll help you build better prompts. Now, we actually publish a prompt guide on a website to help you, you know, kind of think about how you're going to do it. Is there, you know, I'm looking at a tropical waterfall and it's evening, and be realistic or make it look like a sketch. Like you can give it the style as well as sort of the description of the environment that you might be in.
A style. I was looking up some of the things that I've seen people use Firefly for. There was a Baroque cat, and it came back with four options that you choose from, almost like a choose your own adventure style of AI in a creative visual format. Very inspiring. And it's almost like when you said having a conversation with your document, it seemed to me like a conference room spitballing of ideas. Like you talk about this, the document spits back that, but asks you questions like, well, where do you want to go from here? So it almost seems like a collaborative response that you create together.
Well, I think that's a really interesting way to look at it, because the way that the generative AI works in Firefly is exactly that. We offer you, based on what you said, here are four examples. When you're in Photoshop, it's a little different. It offers you three, you know, whatever, doesn't matter. But it shows you ideation, because that's really what's happening here. No one wants to start with a blank sheet of paper. They're sitting there like, where do I get started? So get started. Just start asking. And again, this works across anywhere. If you're an SMB or an enterprise and you're trying to ideate, just like you said, and then collaborate on the ideation. Yeah, absolutely.
Wonderful. Your CEO, Shantanu Narayen, has been quoted saying AI should be viewed as a catalyst for human creativity and not a replacement. In all of this, as we look into AI with Adobe and Firefly and its different products and how it handles things, we don't want to lose the value of human imagination. The ideation process of a bored human that has a blank slate in front of them that has to fight through that battle of really ideating. So what is Adobe doing in order to maintain that?
So I think our CEO is always centered us on creativity for all and the human element. But there's some very tedious things that happen in this world. Imagine if I had a video, I took it in the park, and there were some background folks that really shouldn't be in there because it just detracts from what we were trying to shoot. Would I have to, in the past, frame by frame by frame, have to edit those people? That takes a lot of time and a lot of resource. And using the AI technology, you can scrape that out very quickly, giving the creative time to go do more creative things. So can I go back to documents for a second? It might take me 2 to 3 hours to read through an annual report from one of my customers. Let's say I'm in sales, right? If I can consume that content in 5 to 10 minutes, understand their high priorities, understand how they're doing financially, blah, 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 you know, get that out of the way. What can I do with the rest of that hour? Well, maybe I could go call on a different customer, or maybe I could, you know, go pick up a new customer. If I'm in the marketing department and I'm required to summarize and write a blog post about this, and these are very long, complicated white papers, ask AI assistant to help me get started. And then of course I can put my own tone and voice on top of it. But the other thing is you can always ask it to do that for you. You could say, write me a blog post with a lighthearted tone, but make it genuine and so on. And the longer and more complex of a prompt that you add gives the technology that much more insight to help create something closer to what you were thinking.
That's a really good point. And in today's world, when any organization is looking to utilize a technology, they're always looking at that ROI. So to be able to say, hey, we can increase productivity by almost creating more time by reducing the amount of time it might take to do some of those mundane tasks. In your view, how does Adobe's suite of tools embody that philosophy?
You know, it really depends on the use case. So for example, let's talk about content velocity. I work in a global organization and I need to create awareness for an event. And I need to create the content for multiple social environments and then localize it. Not just the words, but maybe the images to reflect the local culture or what's happening in the regions, right? here's an example. The marketing team here at Adobe for Adobe Max, which is our creative conference, they started out with about 80 base assets, and they had to create, are you ready for this? 54,000 variations. That's where really AI can help. It doesn't detract from the creativity. It just helps with the automation.
With all of that data, we have to talk about privacy and data protection, because sure, with a lot of data comes a lot of risk, especially if it's being spit out quickly. So we've got to talk about that privacy and data, whether it's documents or creative. Privacy and data protection are going to be top of mind. How is Adobe helping? What is Adobe doing to protect us with our data and keep it private for everyone?
Right. So our philosophy is what's yours is yours, and what's not is in the public domain, right? I mean, if you think about it in those two ways. So in the creative space, what we did was we trained Firefly on non-copyrighted material and content from Adobe Stock, which is a piece of technology we have where we've allowed collaborators and contributors to supply non-copyrighted material. Now, if an organization wants to train the Firefly model on their own brand, we allow that now, but there's a line. So the brand stuff is never shared into the regular model. It's always private and it's always in their space. Same thing's true on the Acrobat and the document side. We don't save or store or train on any of the content that's in the documents, which are inside of Acrobat and reviewed. In fact, when you ask AI assistant a question, it only looks in this document or the set of documents you're looking at. And if the answer's not there, it actually comes back with, there's nothing in this document or documents about that topic. So it doesn't go out and try to look around on the internet and find an answer for you, which may or may not be accurate or may or may not be up to date. It just looks in the information you've supplied to it. And just like with the Firefly, none of it's saved, none of it's stored, so that anything that's confidential, customers can be very confident that we're not doing that. Additionally, we can talk about CAI in a second, but we've also tried to make sure not only about the privacy and the security, but the authenticity, right? So that's another side of it.
That actually brings up a very good point. There's a lot of social media posts that the world freaks out about. One recent one, Kate Middleton, where she posted a photo of her family and she had lightly touched it up and the world freaked out at her. They didn't love that. So that photo authenticity, though, would be more important if it was a product that's being sold or something that the end user is being told about something that isn't true, or even something completely made up about a celebrity or a well-known individual. We need to know, what are we looking at? Is this the truth? It's almost like in the remote world when you meet someone for the first time and everyone usually goes, oh, you're taller than I expected. And I usually am like, oh, you're shorter than I expected. But it's that same idea of like, you're presenting this image of perceived reality, and we need to have an understanding of what we're truly looking at and how real it is. So that authenticity, how is Adobe handling that?
That's a great point. And it's so funny you say that I was just at an event live last week and I did meet a bunch of people who were taller than I expected because I'm not a very tall person. It was like, oh, hi. So the Content Authenticity Initiative, it's called the CAI, was started by Adobe in partnership with the New York Times back in 2019 to help ensure that there was transparency. What's real is real and what's not is not, right? And today, CAI has almost 2,500 member organizations, from news outlets to creative agencies and, of course, technology providers. And the focus is to help users to create a digital chain of custody. I like to use that term for their photography, their videos, and other file types, all the way from creation to publication. And the core element of this whole thing is what's called content credentials. And they're almost like a digital nutritional label, like you see on food, right? It's like, here's where it was created. How was it created? And if some of the situations, even what camera model took a photo. And so this helps the creator get secure attribution so that we know that this person gets credit for what they did, but does provide the transparency. And what's more important is the content credentials, now that they're baked into the video, baked into the thing, any consumer can select it and see the provenance of it, right? And for anything generated with Adobe Firefly, we tag it as such. and indicate this is a generated image. So again, the audience knows as they're consuming the content, where did the source of this come from? It really allows them to see that. And I think a strategy for people that are listening, really make sure you work with a provider that's part of the CAI or that knows that they're working for how to tag and or reveal the source so that your audience can always feel the most confident when they're looking at the information.
Imagine interacting directly with your PDFs. Need to dig out specifics from a 100-page report? Just ask. Need to summarize an important document for an upcoming presentation? Ask again. Adobe Acrobat Pro's AI Assistant is bringing generative AI to the masses, unlocking new value inside every single one of the 3 trillion PDFs circulating the world over. Leveraging technology from Acrobat's Liquid Mode, named one of Time's best inventions of 2023, this tool also ensures a responsive reading experience right on your phone. Create meeting recaps in a snap, summarize key points from earnings reports, or extract actionable insights from lengthy marketing briefs. It's all at your fingertips, or should we say, at your voice command? And with powerful integrations into Microsoft apps, your workflow will be smoother than ever. Ready to transform how you interact with documents? Discover more about how Adobe Acrobat Pro with AI Assistant can change your work life at softchoice.com/Adobe.
Back to that document portion of Adobe, which is one of the larger use cases in my mind when it comes to businesses and organizations on the day-to-day, besides what they're doing on social media. How can we continue to use those in a transformative, impactful way? What's top of mind for you when it comes to Adobe's document process as it relates to AI and other uses?
So there's a couple of things. One is think about the use cases across an organization. And every one of us has a use case, both personally and professionally. I'm on my mobile phone and I'm going to a doctor's appointment and they want to know if something's covered. I can ask the document in my plan, you know, bring up my plan as a PDF and ask it, am I covered for this? Boom. We had an employee do that like a week ago and he told us about it, right? But the other thing that we're trying to do in the document space, again, is try to make it easier to get more done so that you free up more time. And we've taken a lot of the tools that are in Acrobat, create and combine and, you know, make searchable, and we brought those into APIs as well to allow for automation. So again, the forward thinking as always, is this something that I can help automate for someone so that they have more time back, or not even time, but compliance? So there's always the human element in anything, but if you're trying to maybe ensure that every PDF you post on your website is accessible for all, let's make sure that we put it through an automation to just confirm that.
Well, I do love the accessibility topic. I have family members and direct loved ones who rely on accessibility features when it comes to documents, social media. You might not realize different levels of accessibility when you look at someone. You might not know that I like to read people's lips. I love to have the subtitles on. I'm one of those that has subtitles on in TV and movies that I'm watching. And there's different reasons for that. I don't have a hearing impairment, but I learn differently. So accessibility in documentation is very important. I love that you brought that up. What are some of the latest and greatest when it comes to accessibility? What's the need in the world today with documents and accessibility? And how is Adobe utilizing some of these features we've talked about?
You know, like you said, sometimes it's audio, sometimes it's visual. People maybe have issue with color contrast. There's a plethora of different things that could really be challenging for you to consume content digitally, right? So inside of Acrobat, as an example, we have a tool called Read Aloud. It'll read aloud any PDF to you. It doesn't matter if it's a recipe, regardless of whether it's a visual disability or a hearing disability or, example, color contrast. If you're having trouble reading digital documents, we're thinking about it. We've really partnered with government agencies globally to make sure that we're delivering the best solutions possible to help our customers.
It's a wonderful thing to be aware of. It's one of those you don't know what you don't know until someone points it out to you, like, hey, why didn't you add an alt tag to your photo? I don't know what's in there. It's a screenshot. A read aloud can't tell me what that is. So I think it's a really important thing to bring up. And I think accessibility in today's world can't just be like, well, we're only doing this because we know so-and-so on our team needs it. You don't know what people are going to need. So you have to make it available for all.
I think what's really exciting is when a technology, and it's not just Adobe, but our partners and other people, can put accessibility checkers in the technology. So as I'm building out this white paper, I'm building out this recipe, I don't know, I love to cook, that always I can check, is it, before I publish it and distribute it, am I doing it? Alt text was a good example, right? Are all my photos tagged correctly? So that's really what's powerful to me, is upstream as the content's being created, create good content, but then there's tools to help mediate down the road. If that didn't happen, let's fix it before we publish it.
Wonderful. Well, that begs the question then, as we have all these different use cases that we've talked about and different amazing products and solutions that Adobe has to offer, let's ask some advice for business leaders right now. For leaders seeking to bring Gen AI into their organizations, what advice can you offer to frame these tools as assets rather than threats? And can you provide maybe some steps for making sure it's adopted and embraced?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I've worked with some of Adobe's largest customers, and this has been uncharted territory, right? We're just like out there. So first, I recommend you should really create a business strategy for your use of Gen AI and create an internal ethics committee if you don't have one already. Because this allows you an opportunity to, as you're researching any apps or services, I would check to see if that company has its own strategy. Does it have its own ethics committee? So that, again, they understand where you're coming from and you can understand where they're coming from. Does any organization that you're researching publish how they train their models and what their policy is around accountability, around responsibility and transparency? We talked about this earlier. Do they provide security and privacy? That's really important, right? You want to make sure that anybody that you're researching and anything that you're going to do in-house, that you have a checklist. Do you do this? Do you do this? What do you do in your own house? You know, how do you do it at your own organization and so on? So I think that that's a good way to get started.
Having your own protocol, your own set of ethics, your own platform for where do we start and end, I think is really great advice. And it kind of reminds you, like, for all of these AI things that we've talked about in use cases, everyone wants to utilize it, but you need to start, like you said, at zero. You need to define your strategy and your solutions. You need to understand your security and your data and where you want to go before implementing some of these amazing solutions. So I think that's really key to understand that you need to know those whys, the business outcome whys for generative AI or for your use cases with Adobe or other platforms.
Absolutely. It's all about where is your pain point and where can Gen AI help you with that pain point? Is it trying to create content at scale? Is it trying to ensure that my content is transparent, that it was generated, that it was a photograph I took, and then I added some generative content to it? So you're being very authentic and genuine, right? It just depends on, you know, your lens and where you are in your journey with generative AI.
Well, I think that's the human element right there, authentic and genuine, because that's what we expect in someone we want to work with, is someone that we know we can trust, someone we like. So if we can have a conversation with our document in an authentic and genuine way and then deliver that to the world authentically, then I think we can still maintain that human element. Lori, with an election year coming up, authenticity in the digital realm is more important than ever, knowing what is real and what is fake. This is a major concern, and it's only getting worse. What steps is Adobe taking to address the authenticity of digital content?
Well, within our technology, we're doing a lot of things. But additionally, our organization, and specifically our general counsel, Dana Rao, has been in front of Congress testifying. He's been working with a White House formed committee with other tech organizations and other people in the space to ensure we want to be respectful of people's content and their brands. And what about accountability, responsibility, and transparency? So again, there's a council, global council that we're getting together with. We're working not only with the United States government, but the EU, as well as governments in the JPAC region to just ensure that Adobe is being transparent about what we're doing.
I love that. Accountability, responsibility, and authenticity. With that, Lori, I really appreciate your time today. We're excited to see the things that Adobe brings us to help make the world a better place, increase our velocity and things that bring our business value, and then also have that human element and that time to get there. As we wrap things up today, Lori, where can our listeners go to learn more?
Well, that's a great question, Heather. So I would say, if you want to go to adobe.com, everything's very transparent. Everything's published there, what our models are, how we do everything. Of course, there's firefly.adobe.com, freely available if you want to go test out some of these fun apps. Acrobat.adobe.com is where you can go to learn about all of the generative AI there. Additionally, the Content Authenticity Initiative, I don't have the URL, but you can look it up online, is really where we'll talk all about what we're doing with credentialing and ensuring the transparency of your information. And of course, if anybody'd like to continue the conversation with me, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Lori. Amazing to have you on the show, and we hope to speak with you again soon.
Thanks again, Heather. It's nice to see you. Take care, everybody.
Having a collaborative conversation with your document might feel like your childhood dreams have come true. Hogwarts is real, and the world of witchcraft and wizardry is in fact nonfiction. While I can neither confirm or deny this possibility, it is a fact that your PDF just got a whole lot smarter. Adobe is pioneering a thoughtful and human-centric approach to AI that ensures technology amplifies human productivity rather than replaces it. For business leaders and creatives alike, the message is to ride this new wave by prioritizing ethical considerations and fostering an environment where human ingenuity is supported by AI. It was also so fascinating to hear about how Adobe's playing a lead role in making sure we can trust the content being generated and that your intellectual property doesn't fall into the wrong hands. That's it for now. If you liked this episode, consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. Join us again in 2 weeks for another episode. The Catalyst is brought to you by SoftChoice, a leading North American technology solutions provider. It is written and produced by Angela Cope, Philippe Dimas, and Braden Banks, in partnership with Pilgrim Content Marketing.
This episode is brought to you by Adobe, revolutionizing document management with a new Acrobat Pro and its AI assistant, turning the way you interact with PDFs into a conversation. Reach out to an Adobe expert at SoftChoice to learn more, or visit softchoice.com/adobe.